Look with me, if you will, this morning, the book of Ephesians chapter 4, the fourth chapter of Ephesians. We're going to read here, starting with verse number 11. This morning, we're going to talk about grow up. Grow up into him in all things. Matthew 4 and 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Amen. Well, this instruction from the Apostle Paul lets us know that the church can provide a place, I guess you would say an atmosphere, where new babes in Christ can grow. That it's a place where it's conducive to growth for new Christians, well, for all Christians for that matter. And one of the things that he does is that he provides in the church, he gifts the church with apostles and prophets, with evangelists, with pastors and teachers, and for the perfecting of the saints. Now, the word there, perfecting, doesn't mean flawless, like we think in the sense of perfect or perfection, but it's a word that means mature, maturing, to mature believers, to help them to mature and to develop and to grow up in the things of the Lord. And when that happens, then the work of the ministry can be accomplished, and the church, the body of Christ, can be edified or built up and strengthened. And so that creates the atmosphere that God wants to be happening in the church and the body of Christ. It needs to be a place where all of us can grow up in the things of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's really God's will for everyone as a Christian, to be ever learning, ever growing, never staying the same, always moving forward in our walk with the Lord. If you're a new Christian, you should be growing. If you've been serving the Lord for 40 years, 50 years, you should still be growing. We don't arrive in our knowledge of the things of the Lord. We just keep progressing. There's always more to learn. There's always more that God can teach us and that we can develop to become more and more of what God wants us to be. The warning here is that we're not to be like little children who are easily swayed. Don't be like children that are tossed to and fro, that are easily influenced, easily swayed by every little deceptive lie just taken in. Or don't be gullible like little children sometimes would be, to not really understand dangers that might be lurking around us. Don't be like little children, but instead grow up, mature in the things of the Lord. And that's the will of God. That's the will of God for every one of us, to grow up in the knowledge of the Lord. Romans 8 and 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the will of God. We are to be growing up, developing to become more like Jesus, more and more like him. And so I pray that's your desire. I pray that it is. And if you're a new Christian, I pray that you will allow the Lord to speak to your heart, and you'll begin, you know, because that's really where it all begins. As a new Christian, it begins with the new birth. It begins when you get born again. When you come to the Lord and you are born again, your life is changed. That's the starting point for the Christian experience. Now, you know how I feel about babies. Babies are just, babies are wonderful, aren't they? They're wonderful. And the scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Little babies are wonderful. Sometimes you'll hear parents say something like, oh, I just hate it because my baby is growing up so fast. I just wish they could stay a little baby forever. But in reality, you don't really wish that. You don't really want that because the joy is watching them grow. I understand that, you know, that that's a sentimental thing to say, but the reality is this. We want them to grow. We want them to develop. And the joy of watching them develop and grow and you know, from the crawling stage to the walking stage to the, you know, they just keep on growing and developing, and that's what we want. That's really what we expect to happen. As a matter of fact, if it doesn't happen, then we get very, very concerned. If a child doesn't develop at a normal, at the normal times and the normal way. But in the church, for some reason, there has been this, you know, effect. I don't know exactly how, but folks haven't seen the great importance of growth and development in your walk with the Lord. New Christians are born again, and then from that point on, they are to be growing, developing, learning in the things of the Lord. Babies are born with certain inborn traits and instincts. And I know of at least two. I know that they have a natural instinct. You don't have to teach or prod a baby. If it's a normal, healthy baby, you don't have to teach them to want to eat. It's a natural instinct that God put in them. As a matter of fact, when they're a newborn, they remind you about every 3 or 4 hours of that instinct. It doesn't matter what time of the day or night. It doesn't really matter if they're hungry. They let the whole house know that they're hungry because they want to eat, and they don't care who they interrupt. They don't care what happens. So newborn Christians have this God-given desire, God-given instinct. When they get born again, they have a desire for the things of God. And you have seen it. I've witnessed it. New Christians that they want to be in church. They want to learn. They have lots of questions. They want to grow. They want to learn and develop in the things of the Lord. But sometimes we're around it so long and we're in the church so long that we lose our appetite for spiritual things. And that's a sad thing. And it's a serious thing, really. It's just as serious as it is in the natural when a baby doesn't have their natural appetite and their natural instinct begins to wane, and then you know that that something is very seriously wrong, that there's sickness or there's some kind of a developmental problem that's happening if they are not growing and developing at the rate that they should be. Christians in the church should be growing up. We should be growing. We should be learning. We should be developing in the things of the Lord. So we really want our natural babies to grow, and we should certainly be concerned about one another. If you see someone that they just, I've witnessed over the years that people, they just kind of get to a certain point in their walk with the Lord, and they're not really interested in learning anymore. Sad to say, in some churches I've witnessed, you know, people that have been saved, they don't know much about God, really. They don't know much about the Bible. You can ask them questions about God's Word, and they don't really know all that much about it because they haven't been truly taught or educated or indoctrinated in the things of the Lord. And we need that. We need to know what we believe. We need to be growing and learning and developing into what God wants us to be. Amen. Babies also have a natural instinct to a fear of falling. You can take a little infant baby and just kind of hold them up in the air, and they'll stiffen up and stretch out their arms and their legs, and that is a natural instinct that God put in them, a fear of falling. And I think that young Christians understand that they need God, and they want to commit themselves to the Lord and to the things of the Lord. And we should be an atmosphere here in the church. We should be an atmosphere where people can grow in the things of the Lord. And we can help one another. If you see someone that's struggling, you see someone that is down spiritually and they're not really developing and growing the way they should, don't ignore them. Don't just, you know, set them aside and leave them to themselves. We know that a little baby left to himself will not survive. They will not survive. They have to have constant care. They have to have constant nurturing and developing of little children. I remember when we were adopting Zach in Romania and how we became acquainted with the situation of some 200,000 orphans that were left to themselves in Romania. My, what a tragic thing for little babies. Some of those children, they were never held. They were never nurtured. They were not really fed food that they needed. And so they weren't developing the way that they should. They hadn't been nurtured or rocked, you know, and just cared for in a normal way that a parent would take care of them or fed in a way that they should be fed. And so they don't often develop. As a matter of fact, they've discovered that there has been literally a problem of brain damage that has affected some children that are put in those kind of an institutions because of the lack of care and nurturing and ministering to them. Children left to themselves can't survive. And so whenever there's someone in the church and new Christians come into the family of God, then we all should be concerned and we should all take care and we should all minister to them and love them and help them and answer their questions and point them in the ways of the Lord. They have to have some time. We need to invest time in people like that. Amen. The church will grow whenever young new Christians are growing and developing in the things of the Lord. The church grows whenever you see those that are so dependent upon their spiritual family to surround them and to help them. But this is a society, pretty much a culture of selfishness, where we live our own life and we do our own thing, and if people make it, they just make it. Well, that's the spirit of the world, that's the spirit of the age, but it can't be the spirit of the church. The spirit of the church has to be such that we take notice of our brother or our sister that's in need. We take notice of them that are struggling and are weak and need help and encouragement, and we minister to them. They are vulnerable, and if they're going to survive, it's going to be because the church helps them to grow. And if we're going to help them grow, then we're going to have to be growing too. Amen. We're not to stay little babies. Now, if little babies, they desire, the scripture says in Peter there, they long for that sincere, that pure milk of the word. And they need that. They need that nurturing and that opportunity to learn about the things of the Lord. But they don't always need that. They're going to need to graduate after a while from the sincere milk or just the basics. They have to graduate to learn more, the deeper things, to understand more of the deeper things of God. Some Christians have been around the church all their life, and they're not really concerned about learning more or developing or becoming what God wants them to be. Well, you should be concerned about growing because it's God's will that you grow. It's God's will that you grow. Amen. And I know some of the things I'm talking about here today are basics, and everybody just, you know all about this, but I just felt the need to go through this morning, and we'll just, we'll see where it goes from here. A new Christian is first born again, and then that new Christian needs to make a public declaration of that they're a child of God. And that's what happens when we baptize them in water, that a lot of times family will come and different ones of their friends will come to observe them being baptized in water. When they're baptized, they're making a statement. They're making a public declaration. It's not a formality. It's not a ritual that we go to. It's God's word. Jesus himself even led the way in water baptism. And that's what a new young Christian needs to do. They need to be baptized in water, repent and be baptized. They need to make that public statement of who they are. They once were dead in trespasses and sin, But they're making this public testimony. But now I'm being resurrected in life in Jesus Christ. And this is my new life. And I make this public declaration. It's symbolic of your old life dying and you rising up in a new life. It's an important thing for new Christians to obey the Lord in water baptism. So if you've been around the church for a while and served the Lord for a little while, and you've never been baptized in water, well, you don't need to neglect this very important step in your Christian experience. If you want to grow, you need to be baptized in water. As I said, it's not a ritual. I know that water baptism isn't what saves you, but water baptism is a step of obedience to publicly declare, I belong to Jesus. My old life has been buried, and I am risen up in new life in Jesus Christ. That is water baptism, and it's an important physical picture of the spiritual truth of what God is doing in your life. And you qualify to be baptized in water if you have repented of your sins and you are born again of the Spirit, then you qualify to be baptized. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you need to be born again, and then you need to obey the Lord with a public statement of your faith, and that is water baptism. Then you need to, number three, if you're taking notes, number three, then if you want to grow, then you need to make a commitment. Or you need to make some commitments to God, some commitments to the things of the Lord. If a pilot takes off in his plane, he comes to a certain point that he can't turn back. He can't abort that takeoff. And he'll sometimes radio in to the tower and say, I'm committed. I'm committed. That means there's no turning back. That's what the Christian needs to do in their walk with the Lord. They need to publicly state, I'm a child of God. And then they need to make some commitments. Lord, I am not going to turn back. I am committed to serve God, to follow the Lord, to live for God. I have committed myself to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am committed. If you don't commit to the Lord, then you're just going to drift around. You're just going to drift around. You're never going to really be what God wants you to be. You're not going to grow. You're not going to develop in the knowledge of the Lord. You're never really going to become what God intends for you to become unless you commit yourself to God. Amen. I belong to the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. I remember, boy, it was rough when I was a teenager. Almost, I was just getting out of high school, and I had a bunch of buddies that I hung around with, and I was getting ready to go off to Bible college, and they were kind of discouraging me. Yeah, but what about this? What about this job? And what about this career opportunity? What about those things? And I can remember when they had pulled up in the front yard of my car, of my house, and they had these nice new cars, and I didn't. And I didn't have much. I was actually, everything of value I had, I was having to sell it to go off to Bible school. I didn't have very much. But I remember them as they were discouraging me from some of the direction I was taking toward the Lord. I remember saying, listen, guys, I know this may not be for you. This may not be what God wants you to do. But for me, this is what I have to do. I got to do what God wants me to do. I got to follow the Lord. I got to obey the Lord. And I stepped out there and I just said, I'm committed. This is what I'm doing. I'm going this particular direction. You have to make that kind of a commitment before the Lord. No matter what, no matter what anybody else does, young people, no matter what your friends do, no matter what anyone else is doing around you, no matter the direction of their life and decisions that they're making, make a commitment to God and make sure that it is a commitment for life. Lord, I am going to follow you. We sing the song sometimes, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Not going to turn back. The cross before me and the world behind me. I'm not going to turn back. I've committed myself. As a new believer, you have to make some commitments to the Lord. And that commitment is, this is the life I choose to live. I want to live for God. I want to obey the voice of the Lord and walk in obedience. It just means that you have to get really serious about your spiritual life. that oftentimes church and serving the Lord and going to church, it's just kind of a Sunday thing for some folks. It's just kind of what we do one day of the week. It's not your life. It's not your whole life. It's not your commitment that you've made. But this has to be a serious commitment before the Lord. If you want to grow in the Lord, you have to commit yourself to Him and to whatever He wants to do with your life. Amen. Walk in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's what the Apostle Paul had to do. He had a history. He had a past. He'd done a lot of wicked, evil things in his past. He had to forget about those things, forget about all the things that were his past life. And he had to have a singleness of commitment to Jesus Christ. This one thing I do. I'm going to follow the Lord. I am going to obey the voice of the Lord. That means you're going to have to let go of the old ways and focus on the new things that God is doing in your life. Let go of the old. Allow God to do some new things in your life. Now, some of you, I know you've been around the church a long time, and you're wondering, why am I preaching to the new converts? And maybe they're not any here, but I'm just believing that God wants to speak to our hearts about our responsibility to grow up in the things of the Lord, to mature, to be what the Lord wants us to be. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That is the will of God, that the old is past and the new is here, and that's the direction of our life. So there has to be a commitment in your life. There has to be a time when you say, okay, Lord, this is it. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what you are calling me to do. You have to be willing to make that deciding commitment to Jesus Christ if you really want to develop and mature in the knowledge of the Lord. Amen? It's the truth. Then number four, you have to commit yourself to a renewing of your mind. I think we all know that this world doesn't think like a Christian thinks. That the worldview of this present age is not the worldview that we ought to have in the body of Christ. We don't see things the same way that they are out there in the world. Things are different in our life, and we commit ourselves to a renewing of our mind and our mindset and the way that we think about things in this world. Ephesians 5 and 26 talks about the washing of the water by the word. That God, by his word, the word of God is like a cleansing of our mind. And in a world like we live in right now, we need a daily cleansing of the things of this world. We're being lambasted with a philosophy that's so wicked and ungodly everywhere. Every direction, from the media and every direction, music and movies and TV and everything, it's pretty much just a complete flood of the philosophy of this world. But we don't think like the world thinks. As a believer, we're to have a different mindset, and there has to be a commitment to a renewed mind. Amen. And that begins, you know, every action started with a thought. Every action started with a thought. So your thinking and your mindset and all that's going on in your thought life has to be brought under subjection to the Word of God and to the things of God. Don't allow the things of this world to control your life and your action, your behavior, your lifestyle. Your decisions are all the result of your mindset, the way that you think about things. And this world is really upside down as far as the things of God are concerned. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. That scripture identifies what the world does. The world elevates their worldly thinking and mindset above the knowledge of God. They make a mockery of God, make a mockery of the things of God. Now, just a few days ago, Vice President Pence made a statement publicly that before he leaves out every morning, that him and his wife read the scripture and they pray together before he leaves. And then he also said that I talk to the Lord and he talks to me. The Lord speaks to me as well. That's the vice president that made that statement. He has been blasted for saying that he has that kind of a relationship with the Lord. They have called him mentally ill because he says that he hears the voice of God. He hears from the Lord. And they're making fun of him in the media saying, oh, he's mentally ill because he says he can hear voices. He can hear God's voice. They've twisted it all around. I don't know really anything much about the vice president, but I respect the fact that he said what he said. I respect the fact that if he does those things, that's an honorable thing for a Christian person to do, to read the Word of God and to pray and ask God for help and to expect God to speak and to direct your steps. I respect that and I appreciate that very, very much. But I want you to know, this world don't think like Christians think. It's completely, you can't expect the world to believe or to have the same philosophy that we have the church. And so we have to renew our mind. And how do we do that? We renew our mind by the Word of God. We renew our mind by God's Word, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. That's the spirit of this age. It's the mindset of this age, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How do you do that? You only are able to do that through the influence of God's Word in your life. Amen. So if you're not a Bible reader, you need to become one. Amen. If you don't love the Word of God, then you need to give God some time every day with the Word of God. And that time that you spend with God's Word will help you to cleanse your mind of the thinking and the philosophy of this world and give you the mindset, the mind of Christ. It'll help you to develop into a person that thinks like Jesus thinks. And that's really where we want to be. How do you do that? Well, daily you spend some time, just like the manna that fell out of heaven there in the wilderness for the children of Israel. That was a daily provision for them. And they were warned, don't go out and get enough for tomorrow or the next day or the next day. And when they tried to do that, we know that that manna would corrupt. It was no good. It was necessary for them to go out every day and to gather up enough of that manna to supply their daily need. Amen. So it should be easy for us to understand that what God wants us to do is every day take some time to read God's Word. Not only to read it, but to study the Bible, to memorize the Bible, to meditate upon the Word of the Lord, and allow the Word of God to become a part of who you are. Amen. James talks about the Word of God, the engrafted Word of God. The Word of God just becomes a part of you and becomes the whole basis of what you, how you make decisions and how you develop your lifestyle, because the Word of God is the dominating factor in your life. Amen. As we talked about with the little children, little babies, the Word of the Lord is the food that we feed upon. Young Christians, first it's the sincere milk of the Word, but then they have to develop and they have to grow. When we brought Zachary home from Romania, he was 2 years old, and whenever we tried to give him solid food at 2 years old, he had a mouthful of teeth, but when he tried to put junior baby food in his mouth, he did not know what to do with it. He didn't know how to chew it. He would cry because he had been fed just a pureed mush of some sort and put in his mouth, and all he knew how to do was gulp. He just swallowed it, anything you put in his mouth. So if there were chunks put in his mouth, he didn't know what to do with it. He didn't know how to chew. He needed to graduate to the next level. And you know, I didn't realize that chewing was not a natural instinct. It's a learned behavior. I never had any problem chewing. But he didn't know. He didn't know. He'd never had the experience. And so we had to teach him. So Marsh and I and the girls all around the table every night, we would just chew to our heart's extent. He would sit in his little chair, his little high chair, and watch us. And we were just chewing and chewing and chewing. We'd made the biggest deal over it. And after a while, even when we would go and visit folks, we would go over to some folks' house to eat with them. And they would all join in the chewing lessons. And everybody would get involved in it. And after a while, he caught on to the fact, there's better things in that milk than that soft food. There's some better things that are in store for me if I'll just learn how to chew up a few chunks. And to the point that eventually he was able to take on more and more and to develop an ability to take on other things. Do you understand with me this morning that if you're going to grow in the Lord, you need God's word? You need, yes, the sincere milk, but you also need the meat of the word. You also need to learn some things that might require effort and study. If you ever get in some of the texts in the scripture, and sometimes you dread going through them because they're so hard to read and so difficult, but you'll find many times wonderful treasures hidden away in some of those things that are so difficult to understand, if you'll take the time. Amen. Take the time to learn and to grow and to develop. Amen. It's a process of growth. And you go through this process through the Word of God, your mind being cleansed, and your heart and your mind and your spirit being filled up with the truth of God's Word. And that becomes this wonderful, wonderful force in your life that dictates your decisions and your lifestyle and everything that is important to you, because you know the word of the Lord. Praise God. I thank God for pastors and teachers and different ones down through the many years that influenced my life so much, who taught the word of God, different ones who took the time to study God's word and to prepare and to pray and to present God's word to me when I was just a young person. Thank God for people who can have that kind of an influence upon our lives. So there has to be a renewing of our mind. Number five, then there has to be fellowship with the Lord. We have to have fellowship with Jesus. It's not just learning. There's a relationship that has to be developed with the Lord. And that comes primarily through prayer. Just time with the Lord. Time in the presence of the Lord. Fellowship with Jesus. Friendship with Jesus. Fellowship divine. Amen. What a wonderful thing that it can be when you take the time to call upon the Lord, to pray, to praise the Lord, to give thanksgiving unto the Lord, to ask the Lord to guide your steps, to give you wisdom for the day as you pray and develop that relationship with the Lord. God begins to give you wisdom, and actually everything that we ask for, God begins to give to us. You have not because you ask not. Too many times we aren't enjoying the benefits of a relationship with the Lord because we don't ask Him. Amen. If your natural human father wants to give good gifts to his children, isn't that that's pretty much what fathers would love to do. If they're able to give good gifts to their children, that's what they want to do. That's what the natural wants to do. How much more does your heavenly Father want to give to you? How much more does He delight in giving to you wonderful blessings if you'll develop this relationship with Jesus? Amen. New Christians need this, and those of us that have been around the church and serving the Lord for a long time, we need to develop this relationship with the Lord. Then number six, and this is the last one. What time is it? Oh, I still got a few minutes here. And that is your relationship, a commitment to the church. If you're going to grow, this is the atmosphere that God intended for it to happen, right here. That doesn't mean that other things aren't important, but God can use, and he wants to use, the body of Christ, the church, to develop us, to grow us. This should be an atmosphere where people can grow up in the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. The church becomes like a family, or at least it should. It becomes like a family. Many times, your relationships with your brothers and sisters in the Lord are even stronger than with some of your natural family, because there's this deepening of relationship in the body of Christ and in the church. In the church, you have this family relationship, and in the church, you are able to corporately, all of us together, worship the Lord and pray together. Amen. Things start happening when people are united together and praying together and even worshiping the Lord together. You can worship alone. You can worship with just a few. But there's something wonderful about coming to God's house in the church among the people of God and entering into a spirit of worship. That's what new Christians need, and that's what everybody needs as they grow in the Lord. Then we learn how to serve in the church. We learn that it's not all about us. I read this the other day. It was talking about the millennials. Now, if you're a millennial, that's the age group of what? 18 to about 30, early 30s. That's the millennial group that they have identified as the millennials. And it said, there was an article I read, and it said, how to reach the millennials. And point one was, you need to understand that it's not about you or your church. It's about them. Millennials, all they really want to know about is, what can you do for me? Well, we're off to a pretty bad start there with the millennials, when it's all about them, all about them. Because that's not the way it is in the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is not all about us. It's about how we might be able to serve one another. How we might be able to minister to one another. In the church, you learn the concept of what it means to be a servant. To serve each other. To serve the Lord. To serve in the body of Christ and in the kingdom of God. You give of yourself. You're willing to sacrifice and to give of yourself to serve in the body of Christ. And you will grow when you learn the important lessons of why we need the church. You learn to serve. You learn to give in the church. I understand that people out in the world, they give. But whenever you're giving in the church, you're giving to something that has eternal benefit, eternal consequence. The Bible says when you give, you're laying up treasures in heaven. You're not just giving to the church. You're giving to a heavenly calling and a heavenly purpose. You're investing in something that has eternal value. Praise God. Amen. That's in the church. And you learn these lessons and you grow up. You develop in the things of the Lord. Amen. Now my prayer, Lord, help us to be a place where new Christians can come and they can grow. And help us to be a body that is always growing in the things of the Lord. I've been serving the Lord a long time now, more than over 40 years, and been a pastor for about 35 years. But I have to tell you, really often, I'll read something and study something and think, wow, that's new to me. That's fresh to me. I'll hear a preacher or a teacher and think, oh my, what a wonder. You see, this book is inexhaustible. You can't exhaust the word of the Lord. There's always new treasure to be mining out of God's word. Amen. Always something more to learn. So let us grow up in the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, thank you. We're so grateful, Lord, that in our lives you have helped us, you have taught us. And Lord, we're grateful for that. But Lord, we want to know more. We want to learn more. We want to develop more in the knowledge of the Lord and the things of God. So Lord, I pray today for some here today that might be new Christians, maybe not saved all that long. Lord, I pray that you would just put in them a desire to grow and to develop in the things of the Lord. And I pray for everyone in the church, everyone in this group here this morning, that you would just stir up our hearts with a new desire to draw nearer to you, to learn more of you, to grow, Lord, in the knowledge of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.